You are about to get notified.
KUCI. It makes me wanna. 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 KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine.
The opinions and views expressed in this program do not reflect those of KUCI, its management, or the UC Board of Regents. To find out more about this talk show or other talk shows broadcasting on KUCI, log on to our website at kuci.org or check out the latest program guide.
All right, welcome all of you here in Irvine and around the world to Get Notified. We are a show led by myself, Mr. DJ Ginger MC, and we talk about social media. We get you notified about things that are happening, things that aren't happening, get opinions for people who are good at social media, who are bad at social media, and for people who are just generally frustrated by it. We have a lot of fun here on the show, and I have an amazing guest today who's going to chirp in at the half-hour mark, so at 8:30. I have a couple guests, and we're just going to sort of we're going to talk about a few things before then. Now, this is the week of interns here at KUCI. So if you have or haven't, you might have noticed some new voices on. So I want to introduce Miss Mai here. So tell us a little bit about yourself. Why are you looking to join KUCI? Are you going to have a music show?
Yes.
Okay.
I want my personal space to like express myself and de-stress from school. Yeah.
What kind of music are you going to be playing?
Mostly Southeast Asian, and then more specifically like Korean songs.
Okay, so like K-pop?
I
don't know if there's such a thing, I just said it.
Like, obviously everyone's like know about K-pop, but I want to like go into like K-indie and K-hip-hop and all that stuff.
Okay.
And so introduce people like beside from K-pop.
And Richard, our last host, was saying that you speak 5 languages. Is that right?
I'm learning the 5th one.
The 5th one. Wow, okay. I think you should have a talk show, right? Because it sounds like you've got a lot to talk about. And then we have Mr. Kevin. Kevin, how are you doing this morning?
Hello, hello. I'm doing fantastic.
Fantastic is good. Now you've got your radio voice on. I like it.
Thank you very much.
So tell us why you're here, Mr. Kevin.
You know, I'm here to find out about KUCI, about radio. I was here last week for your show and was completely fascinated by what was going on. I'm also very, very interested in social media, and I keep putting my toe in the water and then kind of pulling back, and now I'm all in, and here we go.
Okay, are you the type of person in a real swimming pool you actually test the water, or is this just metaphorically speaking for social media? Like, when you're at the pool, do you test the water before you jump in?
Yeah.
You do. All right. And when you say you've jumped in, what does that mean?
Well, I'm the president of Zotspeak Toastmasters here on campus. And I had the opportunity to become the South Orange County representative for social media for Toastmasters. And after about a day and a half of exploring it and asking the kinds of questions I was asking, the people involved were like, you know, it's really great that you're enthusiastic and you want to learn about it, but you have a long way to go. So it was suggested to me to just become involved on my club level and in the Orange County contributing, start slow and then go for it. So that's what I'm doing.
All right. Well, congratulations. Mai, what's your deal with social media? Do you love it? Do you hate it? Or are you confused by it?
I loved it. Like, it's another world where I can step into and
okay.
not care about it.
What's your favorite platform? What do you like to be on?
I like, right now I'm like going back to Twitter, but my main platform is Instagram.
Okay, good. Yeah. I Twitter for me is my favorite platform, and I do like Instagram. I don't like Facebook. What do you think about Facebook?
I was admin for a lot of pages, and it was like such a hassle just to communicate with people and like try to get stuff done on there. It
yeah.
was really hard.
Well, I like that you're going back to Twitter. Now, Kevin, I know you're exploring. You're wet in the pool now. Are you leaning towards certain platforms that you're enjoying right now or wanting to learn more about?
Well, it seems like what I'm into is LinkedIn and Facebook, and it's interesting to hear you guys say, you know, don't like Facebook as much. and it's funny you should say that, because as I'm trying to get into it, I'm trying to keep it to what I'm up to, and it seems like people are all over the place. And so I'm a little hesitant to friend and kind of get involved, because it's cool, you know, all these personal stuff and, you know, how I tied my shoe this morning. But, you know, I'm more like, what am I up to? What am I doing and where I want to go?
Uh-huh. Yeah, and I think that's something a lot of people find challenging when they jump into the pool. It might feel a little bit warmer to the toe, but you jump in and it's frigid. So I think the best way to solve that is way before you get online, or even if you're online, like, what do you want to be online, and what is the purpose of being online? It's kind of like you're in the Alice in Wonderland and you're talking with the social media guru who happens to be a big caterpillar, and he's literally saying, well, who are you? There are people out there that just want to talk about tying shoes, which is cool.
Yeah. Right.
But if you haven't made that decision before you go into it, then it's going to be difficult, right?
I get that.
It's like choosing your bathing suit before you jump in the pool. Mm-hmm. Right? Because you might feel like you have no bathing suit, or maybe you've got a big thick wetsuit on. So working with that analogy, you got to figure out the shorts or the pants or whatever it is that you're wearing to go in there.
Yeah, I'm getting that. So that's where my hesitancy was. And so it's interesting as we talk about branding and personal branding, and I'm really getting that and getting more clear on that all the time. And then kind of jumping in, so here I am.
So what I'm super excited about our guest today, and I think it's kind of funny and ironic because the guy and his business partner, they started this company called Heal, and it's not a rock band, it's not a K-pop band or anything like that. Mai, have you heard of this app called Heal?
Like H-E-E-L?
No, not a heel like a shoe. This is good. If it's H-E-A-L, what do you think? What type of app do you think it would be?
I don't know, like to go on there and express yourself, to heal yourself.
Okay, to healing yourself, maybe, all right. Now, Kevin, I was sort of explaining it to you, and they've actually been dubbed as the Uber of doctors, and I believe that it was a major news network that even sort of said that, and I love to describe companies like that, because if I said that this company is the Uber for doctors, mm-hmm. what would you think, Mai?
So is it that we Googling symptoms ourselves on that app, and then doctor come in and just like, yeah, you got this?
Almost, but minus the whole Googling thing. Imagine just like you need a ride to go somewhere.
Uh-huh.
Maybe it's not as good as the Uber of, but think of the Postmates of doctors. Do you know Postmates?
Yeah.
Okay, so Postmates, Kevin's nodding his head no. Okay, Kevin, this is good. This is like guess the app. What do you think Postmates would be as an app?
Wow,
and I'll give you a hint. It does some sort of delivery service.
Mm-hmm. Postmates. Wow, I mean Postmates.
For hint, it's like really popular for a college student who doesn't have time.
Okay, well, I would say you're posting and perhaps looking for a mate.
No, almost. It's okay. Wait a minute. Have you heard of TaskRabbit?
No.
No. Have you heard of TaskRabbit? No. Dash over in the corner. Have you heard of TaskRabbit? She's nodding her head. No. It's okay. TaskRabbit is just like Postmates, and they're similar nature to Heal. We should come up with a whole game show about like name that app. That's what we're going to do. We're going to do a name that app. So TaskRabbit, you can hire people to do things that you don't want to do, like stand in line for tickets to a show.
Oh my gosh. Or really?
Yeah, you can do anything that would be a task.
Uh-huh.
Like think about hiring a little rabbit who just goes and does it for you.
Wow.
So whether it's waiting in line for concert tickets, or you know, you can be totally creative. You can do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Postmates is a delivery service where you need a bottle of this, or you need some cupcakes, or you need something like that.
So like DoorDash, but for everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
What's DoorDash?
You're not up with DoorDash?
Yeah, I don't know DoorDash.
Okay. Well, my son's into DoorDash, and that's where you, if you're using DoorDash, you want to order some food for many different restaurants, and then somebody brings it to your house.
Yeah, it's kind of like Eat24. Have you heard of that?
No.
Name that app. We're definitely going to do this into a whole series.
Yeah.
Okay, let's play this name that app. Are there any other sort of delivery services that you know of that you can quiz us on?
There's a lot, but like I don't go them by names. I just like, oh, this icon, I just click on it.
Okay, this is interesting. So looking at an icon, not even knowing the name of the app. So let me show you.
I have a side note though, like it's this it's very popular in Asia like really long time ago, and it started coming out in the United States. So I'm like kind of confused, like it's already been popular in Asia for a long time, like delivering stuff or like calling like Uber and stuff, but it just became like more popular here. So I'm like, what took it so long to get here in the United States?
So this whole sort of delivery to your door has been happening overseas for a long time?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's relatively new here.
Oh, really? Yeah, that's why I'm just like very curious why.
So I want you to look at this heel icon right now. Uh-huh. Mai is looking at the heel icon on their Twitter. Uh-huh. What do you think? What does it look like? Describe it.
Bandage in a heart shape.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And then the color is really appealing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice. So this is an interesting point, is that Mai, who is our classic, you're a millennial or Gen Z? X. Y.
1997.
97. Okay. So you're Gen Z.
Yeah.
All right. I'm glad that you're paying attention as much as here as we can here, because I know everybody says you have no attention span, but you're on it. You're like paying attention. This is great. Mm-hmm. So the colors are appealing. Maya's talking about how she knows some delivery apps just by their icon, not even what the name is. And the Heel app, if you want to check them out on Twitter, that's Heel app. Wow, that's a pretty straightforward name, right? Mm-hmm. You know it's an app. That's another thing. If you have a name out there of a company and it has app in the handle, it's a good chance they're really telling you that it's an app. Thank you, Captain Obvious, right? But it's important. So it's a Band-Aid, like it looks like a full Band-Aid that's folded in a way that becomes a heart.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so right away, the colors are appealing. It's sort of a soft tone. It's got a gradient from lower blue to sort of a darker blue. Uh-huh. And it's just sort of this heart. Mm-hmm. But the big statistic, it says 71% of ER visits are unnecessary, which is crazy if you think about it.
Very true.
Really.
So it's an exciting company, and I'm excited to bring him on. What I think is kind of the funny and ironic part of it is that he's sick. So I think that what he's doing is probably using his own app to have a doctor deliver him some medicine so that he can get organized and power through the last half hour of this.
Nice.
Cool.
But I think that it's a testament to, I want to put it in the social media realm, because apps to some extent create their own little communities. Mm-hmm. And I've gotten in a friendly argument about what is a social media platform. And I believe that if it's a group of people that are connecting for a purpose online to either support each other or to create a certain outcome, it can be considered a social media platform.
Yeah.
And even though it's an app, you know, you have the app interactions, but then you have people who are interacting on social media. So it's this weird blended line, right? If I were to go learn about their app, for me, I'd go to Twitter. Somebody else might go to their website. Somebody else might go to the iTunes. Somebody mm-hmm. else might check out their Facebook. So it just goes to show that some people don't even know your name, but they know your icon. Some people look at what's happening on your Twitter versus on your Facebook versus on your website. And I think it's an important thing for people to understand that if you're the one putting the messages out there, if you're communicating your brand, mm-hmm. it's important to have that consistency. Because yeah. if you go and you always see that Band-Aid Heart logo, it's just going to be essentially the same information but disseminated on different platforms. So Mai, if you mm-hmm. were to find out about this Heel app and somebody had just mentioned it to you verbally, mm-hmm. where would you go to find that?
Facebook.
You'd go to Facebook, okay. And then how about you, Kevin?
I would Google it.
You Google it. Now, Google would populate a number of social media platforms or information. What would pick your eye from that point? Are you a website kind of guy, or would you go to their social media? What would be that first thing?
I'd go to the website right away.
Okay. So I think it's interesting because from a communication standpoint, I have a lot of people who talk with me about, I don't know what to post on Instagram versus Facebook, and then there's this whole website. Well, the simple answer is, to some extent, create a consistent message. Maybe just tweaked a little bit.
Yeah.
You might have a long form post about why people, you know, go to the ER room in an unnecessary way, but then, you know, that could be 300 or 400 words on, say, Facebook. But on Twitter, you could just say, did you know 71% of ER visitors are unnecessarily there?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you could spark a conversation. So there's this the great debate about taking the same content across all platforms. And I'm in the belief that for your own sanity, that's cool.
Yeah.
But yeah. It's the way in which you're you're tweaking it so it's native to the platforms.
Yeah, okay. I agree. Right?
Makes sense.
Because what sort of irritates me sometimes, and I'm a happy ginger, so it's hard to irritate me, is if I look at somebody's Twitter feed and every single tweet is basically pushed from their Instagram or their Facebook. So for those of you who have not seen how this works, if you have an Instagram account, do you know who owns Instagram, by the way, Kevin?
I don't.
Okay, do you know who owns Instagram?
I think they transferred to Facebook.
Facebook bought them. Got that big old fat wallet out and said, we own you. Okay. A lot of people don't know that Instagram is owned by Facebook.
Yeah.
Okay.
So if you're on Facebook, you can link up your Instagram account and vice versa.
Yeah.
If you're on Instagram, you can link your account to Facebook as well as Twitter.
Yeah.
As well as
many other apps.
So inherent in these platforms, you have the ability to share across platforms. And what it does, there's benefit because it's easy, right? If I'm going to do an Instagram post, I might as well just click to share it on Facebook and click to share it on Twitter.
Yeah.
But I don't recommend doing that all the time, because what it does is in Twitter, it pulls the first maybe 100 characters and then says dot, 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 and there's a link. So when you're native on Twitter, you want to see the tweet. You don't want to be redirected to another browser to open up Instagram or Facebook.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that, Mai?
It gets annoying because I'm on YouTube a lot, and then a lot of people link their Twitter to YouTube.
Okay.
And then they just tweet the video title at YouTube at the username, and then like this link to YouTube, and I'm like, your whole Twitter is just that. Like,
Redirects. Why do you even have a Twitter at that point, right?
Yeah. Exactly, and it gets annoying sometimes to me because, like, I set up my social medias to have different meanings to it, so I don't post things on Facebook to Instagram and then vice versa.
Okay, so see, here's the great debate, right? I think in a general sense, as a rule of thumb, it's okay to share, you know, you don't have to come up with a different, I guess, content for each one, but my thought is that if you tweak the content so that it seems to be native on each platform, that makes more sense.
Yeah.
Right?
I get where you're coming from.
So tell me more about, so for each of your social media platforms, do you have kind of a different theme, or do you really not cross-pollinate? Is the only picture on Instagram only going to be on Instagram, or am I going to see it on Facebook as well?
It depends on the purpose of the picture.
Okay.
And so... Well,
stop. This is the bathing suit. This is the new bathing suit theory. You've got to figure out what bathing suit you're wearing before you jump in the water. And the water is the World Wide Web water pool thing. Tide pool. Right? So it's an interesting concept. And I'm assuming you have more than one bathing suit, Kevin.
Correct.
Okay. And Mai, you probably have more than one bathing suit?
Thousands.
And you, now it's all about, you can't even buy a top and a bottom together. It's all like mix and match, right? That's the craze?
Yeah.
So this is interesting. You've got social media content like you're shopping for a bathing suit. For women, you've got the two different choices and you can mix and match this content. For dudes, maybe it's the sunglasses that you decide to wear with your bathing suit or the whole entourage. Because, you know, some sunglasses, when it's really sunny out and it's a pool, you got to wear them in the water, right? But if it's cold, you might need a wetsuit, right? Or if it's something that you're not fully in, you're sitting at the side of the pool in your regular shorts and you just roll up your pants. Put your feet in. So this is a new social media content theory that is now created. It is called the bathing suit theorem. All right. So the bathing suit theorem, we should tweet this out. Okay. So newly invented bathing suit theorem content creation strategy, right? It basically means figure out what you're doing before you post. That's the simple part of it, right?
Yeah.
And there's probably bathing suits that you have in your closet. Like, I have a hard time detaching from my bathing suits, okay? It's like, even if I get a little bit heavier, it's like, I still think I can wear them. Because you bond with them. You spend, like, all summer with them, and it's just like a suit. Yeah, memories with them. And then they sort of fade down towards the bottom, and you're like, can I get away with this looking like it's a distressed feel? And then they move into, like, then they become repurposed as your yoga shorts and stuff like that.
Gotcha.
So I think the same analogy is, there's probably content that you have in your closet that you could pull out and repurpose. Mm-hmm. It could be a throwback Thursday. It could be more towards the summertime. It could be talk of recycling that content. But if you physically think of going into your closet and rummaging through your assortment of bathing suits, that same type of process, I think you can apply to content creation.
You know, it's really interesting you bring that up, Ryan, because I'm noticing that in Toastmasters, as I develop ideas and things that I'm interested in, and just in terms of these apps and posting, I'm like, wow, I can draw on that speech. I can draw on that speech. So I'm kind of, it's percolating in my mind, and now you're bringing it up. So thanks.
Percolating. I like it. It makes me sound like, it makes me feel like coffee, but I'm trying to stay away from coffee right now. I'm trying to stick with a little bit of tea.
Yeah. Okay.
But that's just me. But see, that could be a social media update if that's the bathing suit that I want to wear. Just letting people know. Okay, well, I think this is exciting. We've not only come up with a new content creation theory. Hopefully, we made everybody feel a little bit more like summer's close because we're talking about swimming in the pool and whatnot. Mm-hmm. We've talked about these delivery apps that apparently are not new at all.
Yeah.
And we are just picking up on it. And even though it's been around here for a while, Kevin still is learning about it, which is great, right? Okay. Kevin, what are the chances? When was the last time you went to the ER?
I don't know, four or five years ago.
Okay. How about you? Were you in the ER recently?
Like 6 years ago.
6 years ago. Okay. What about the doctor? Do you go to the doctor often?
Once a year for a physical.
Once a year. Okay. Mm. And how about you?
I go too many often.
Too many often. Okay. So would you feel comfortable, and we're going to talk about this real quick before Nick gets on the line, even though he's probably listening, but it's easier to throw somebody under the bus when they're not there. Sorry, Nick. But would you trust a company, an app that you access through your phone to bring a doctor to your house instead of going to the emergency room?
I mean, it's the same concept, but you just switch the other way around and you're not doing the work. The doctor is doing both the work, you going there, and then he does the work for you. And so he's coming here. So I feel fine because, like, delivery guy just come to your door and knock your door and just, like, put stuff there and just make you sign your stuff and then just leave.
Yeah. So maybe it's the UPS of doctors.
Yes.
Delivering health or something like that.
Or, like, medicine.
Yeah, delivering medicine, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. What about you, Kevin? And how would you... would you feel comfortable to bring this person?
I would be hesitant initially.
Okay.
But when you put it in terms of, like, when you go into an ER room, well, you don't know who you're going to get. It's an ER. You're at the mercy.
Yeah.
But the brick and mortar of the hospital, you know, and it's like, well, that whole vetting process, I would have more confidence. Yet, you know, I take that back. I was in an emergency room just 3 months ago. Mm-hmm. And, it was filled with really sick people, and my wife and I left because we were there for my wife, and because we thought we were going to have to be there for 3 or 4 hours.
Yeah, it's crazy,
right? And we thought, boy, we're going to die from just sitting in this room as opposed to what she had. So
I think that's a huge thing for me is getting grossed out with all the coughing, sneezing people. I mean, the people that have, like, you know, the blood spilling out, they get rushed inside. So I'm not scared about that. But when it comes to, I'm not a germaphobe, but I just try to avoid
the
danger zone.
And this was a big hospital here locally, and there were people that had masks on. There was infectious things going on.
So if you basically get the doctor to visit you, you avoid that. So Dash wants to chirp in. Here, like, give her the microphone, have her turn that around. How you doing, Dash? Good morning.
Good morning there, Ryan. I actually was just in the ER within the last few weeks. My little sister had a pretty severe allergic reaction. She had never had her breathing close up before, so she didn't have an EpiPen. But honestly, this app sounds like a great idea. If they just had, like, some EpiPens, that would save us thousands of dollars. And I think this is her third or fourth trip to the ER.
Yeah.
And we were there for around 5 hours.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you, is how, because in my mind, it's like, how long would it take? Because, I mean, I get stressed out when Domino's doesn't deliver in less than 30 minutes because I want the free pizza. You say
they used
to do that. But if it takes you 5 hours to get seen, and there's all that brain damage and the sickness and this unknown of, you don't even know what doctor it is, imagine being able to choose a doctor, know exactly how long it's going to take him to get there, and have sort of, I mean, what's the difference between sitting across somebody or communicating through a phone? Right? I mean, this is really like a cultural barrier where doctors have had this authority and you come to them and you sit down and you're nervous and they have got the white coat and they spend a very small amount of time with you, but every second is precious.
Yeah.
This like flips it. This is like, I'm the boss here, right? I'm the one who's sick. Like, cater to me. There's nothing worse than doing anything when you're sick, especially, you know, anything. You, let's say you've got a chance to be on live radio and you own a company that helps people get better and then you're sick, right? It's like, it happens, especially in this kind of flu era.
Yeah.
Another thing I was reading is that a lot of people are misdiagnosed with, what is it, where you, they give you antibiotics? I mean, that's, mm-hmm. that's a huge deal.
It is.
And they were mentioning some statistics that I'm just going to read here off a recent press release. So Heal has driven more than $5.9 million in healthcare cost savings. They've reduced unnecessary prescription antibiotic usage by more than 50%.
Fantastic.
And they raised $52 million, but hey.
Damn.
How long have they been around?
I believe that, let's see, in February of 2015 was the first Heal patient.
Mm. Wow.
And then it's crazy. They've recently brought on the general manager of mobile apps from Amazon.
Wow.
And then they also swooped up the former director of engineering at Snap Inc.
So, I'm raising my brows here, so.
Yeah. Is that an impressed thing, or is that like
a... Yeah, because like... A lot of doctors are just sitting there, like, waiting to get patients. And yeah. then there's, like, corporations sitting in between the patients and the doctor.
Yeah.
So this thing, like, connects directly. And so the doctor's just not waiting, and we're not waiting. There you go.
I dig it. And, I mean, what also, one of the things that I was trying to figure out was, how does this work with insurance? But apparently, they're approved as a PPO.
Wow.
And I think that they're only in a few selected states, but I think they're actually trying to get out here to California, mm-hmm. into Irvine, which is exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what do you think about this now, Kevin?
You know, I got to say I'm a lot more open to it. I think it really, it's not that much of a stretch to say, you know, that could be worthy of trying out. More than a lot of things, and it's amazing because of this barrier, because of doctor, healthcare, you're kind of like resistant. Yet, boy, I think this has a lot more merit than a lot of things I've heard about recently.
We have turned, the water has definitely heated up in Kevin's pool, but hopefully it's not because of something else. Call a doctor. So let's, you know, we can do a little social media audit before he jumps on, okay? Because it's always nice to get feedback from people. So when I'm looking at Twitter, the first thing I'm looking at is the background image. Too many people don't have a background image, and that's really the first thing that you see. So if you're on Twitter, make sure that your image is not covered up either. Wait a minute. I think this is Nick calling in. Hang on a second. Hello, this is Ryan. Hey, what's up, Nick? Hang on. I'm going to patch you through. Let's see. Okay. Nick, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hey, how are you feeling? You're all right? Did Heal save the day?
No, I just had a long night. That one of my little guys was up, and so just it was a slow start to the day. But I'm doing great.
Gotcha. We were sort of hoping that you had called your own app to save the day, so that you could make it here on the show.
Believe me, with as a father of two little boys, we do that often, and that's why we created the app. But not this morning.
Very cool. We were just about to do a little social media audit on your Twitter, and and it's great to get this kind of feedback. And we're just speaking the praises about your Heal app Twitter. You've got this great backdrop image. Your actual icon, which is the Band-Aid, which we already discussed we liked from the colors and the message. You have right out the gate, 71% of ER visits are unnecessary, which is like speaks to you. You've got a friendly doctor here who's kind of fashionable. She's got some necklaces on, so it's not like she's your total scary, scary doctor. And it's pretty straightforward. An on-demand doctor house calls in 2 hours or less, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., 7 days a week, insurance accepted, professional and caring MDs serving L.A., San Francisco, OC, and San Diego.
That's the story.
So we have Mai here, who is she's interning on the show because she's going to have her own talk show, and you have impressed her. She is from an area in the world where they've had delivery services forever, and she's been raising her eyebrows all morning as we get deeper and deeper into this, and she's nodding her head like, yeah, this is cool.
Yeah.
Well, nice to talk to you, Mai.
Say hi, Mai.
Hi, Nick. Is it Nick?
This is Nick. Yeah, okay. He's on.
Yes, yes.
And then we have Kevin here, too. Kevin, say hi.
Hi, Nick.
Hey, Kevin, how are you?
I'm doing great.
I got to tell you guys, it's, you know, I'm an alum of UC Irvine. I don't know if you know that.
Yeah, Zot. I hear you're a big fan.
Yeah, Zot.
Everybody's Zot, smiling
I'm
at
me. I'm on the Alumni Board of Directors. I'm in the Engineering Hall of Fame. And
woo, wow.
I have been with my startups, and with this one in particular, on press ranging from the Wall Street Journal to CNBC and everything in between. It's the biggest thrill of my life to be on my alma mater's Yet radio station.
Okay? All right. Yay.
We're excited to have you here, buddy. That's awesome. And we had a lot of fun talking before you got here, and we came up with a couple things. All right. We're going to run this by you just to make sure. One, we came up with a new game show. It's called Guess That App. Right?
Guess That App.
So we were asking Kevin, you know, because he's just getting into social media and online in general, you know, stuff like Postmates and TaskRabbit, and we had fun trying to guess the app based on the name.
Right.
And my thought that Heel was H-E-E-L, some sort of shoe service.
So did
name.
I.
So we had fun with that. And then we actually came up with a new content creation strategy called the Bathing Suit Theorem.
Okay.
So Kevin was talking about how he literally is a kind of guy who dips his toe into the water and then only jumps in if it's the right temperature.
Right.
And he's just starting to do that with social media. He's taking the plunge.
Right.
And we're talking about how he's confused because people are talking about how they're tying their shoes to, you know, sophisticated stuff, to philosophy, to memes. And he's just, he's not sure what to do. So what we decided is before you jump in the pool, yeah, you got to put your toe in the water, but you got to figure out what type of bathing suit you're going to wear.
Right.
And that really was a kind of an eye-opener for all of us. And I'm curious to get your thoughts. We had kind of an informal poll. If I were to tell Mai about the Heel app, she would go to Facebook. If I told Kevin about the Mai app, he would go to Google, and then he would click on your website. So as a business owner, I'd love to get into some of how you view the use of social media, because you've not only raised $52 million, you've saved millions of dollars in healthcare costs.
Right.
You're doing a lot of cool stuff, but how do you manage the content across your Facebook, your Instagram, your all this stuff? Is it the same message on all platforms, or are you choosing different bathing suits for the different platforms?
Well, so I think the core of it, I think to use your bathing suit analogy, right? I'm a 46-year-old guy who has about 20 pounds to lose, and no matter what bathing suit I put on, I'm going to look like a 46-year-old guy who has about 20 pounds to lose, right?
Yeah.
So, and with Heel, obviously, the core message is something much more positive than shape of my body. But the point is, the with Heel, the core message of, you know, high-quality care, it's on demand, you know, great doctors, accepting insurance, those core messages are the same, but the way you tell the story, the bathing suit is, to use that analogy, different on different social platforms because, and again, just to use the bathing suit analogy, is if you're in Hawaii in the tropics, you know, my wife is, who's our chief medical officer and my co-founder in this company, Dr. Renee Dua, she, you know, she's always cold at the beach, right? She will never get into the beach in LA or a pool or anything. She just thinks it's freezing. But when we go to Hawaii and the waters are warm and it's 90 degrees outside, she's perfectly happy to jump right in, right? So the content has to be tailored for the medium. And if you do that, Instagram or Snapchat are much more visual as mediums. It's about the picture of the doctor with the kid giving, you know, and the happy mom or happy dad, whereas on Facebook, it's a little bit more about telling a story and a story being engaging, or video. Twitter, it's about these short little messages. And I think the best possible example of that that's current in our lifetime is the guy who's president of the United States right now has mastered the use of Twitter for personal gain like nothing I've ever seen. Right now, whatever you think of him as a president, and I believe me, there are things I think, but that medium he has put to incredibly effective use, right? He to get elected and to stay elected and to continue talking to his base in ways that are very powerful.
Yes, and I was really just like the whole time you started talking about number 45, I just bit my tongue.
You and I can have a whole separate conversation about that. And
we'll do that offline.
I don't know, but I also have a personal Twitter channel. I'm at DJ No Funk.
I was going to ask you about that because I followed you. I'm checking you out. So tell us about, are you a secret closet DJ, or like what's going
on? No, I'm not. I'm actually, that is a nickname I earned. So I'm like the nerd of the nerds, right? So I was in electrical engineering at UC Irvine, and in the Electrical Engineering Honor Society, I tried to do a rap, and I got, and I was like, I called myself DJ Funky Nick, and I have no musical talent whatsoever. And someone in the audience said, no, I think this is more like DJ No Funk. And the name stuck, and I tweet under that name, I blog under that name, and
that's great.
I like that. Well, and again, I really like what you're talking about, that the message is core across all platforms, right?
Yes.
You know, delivering healthcare to your door with vetted doctors who care and are really in it to win it, so that you can spend less time being sick and more time being well.
Yeah. Yes.
But what you're saying is that you're taking that core message, and when it's on Instagram, it's visual. It's happy pictures of people with kids and doctors, and you see it. On Facebook, you're telling a story, and it's more visual in the medium of video. And then on Twitter, it's just short little blasts. And so for some... Go ahead.
And I think that analogy applies, right, across the spectrum, right? I've just sticking with UC Irvine, I've had been invited to speak to the engineering school about HEAL and its success and whatever, the students of the School of Engineering, as well as separately to the health MBA program, right? It's a fully employed health MBA program. And in the former, when I'm talking to engineering students, they're much more interested in the technology and the technology approach and this and that. And the healthcare MBA students are much more interested in how is this impacting healthcare, how do hospitals... Hey, I got to tell you something. I'm in a car, and I'm driving under a tunnel in L.A., and I might drop you, in which case we'll call right back.
Perfect. And that serves great, because usually I'm the one that drops people in accident with a phone line. So if that happens, I'll just take full credit and no one will know. But I think this is an interesting message that's empowering for people like Kevin or somebody who's new to social media. There we go. New to social media, because there's a lot of pressure on what it is that you're going to actually do, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Nick, you back?
Yes, I'm back.
Okay, cool. I'm sorry I hung up on you, bro. I didn't mean to do that.
No, it was... It's a long story. But
no, that was I got your cover. It's my bad. But we were just saying this idea, and which you're reinforcing, is the same message, just split up natural to the platform. We were talking about how it gets annoying if somebody has a Facebook post and all they do is they send it to Twitter, or their Instagram, they click the little buttons to go to Facebook and go to Twitter.
Right.
What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so I actually agree with that. I actually think that, again, content has to be, the core message has to be purposed for the medium and for the audience, and different people will follow you. Just as you said, Kevin might go to Google, whereas I might go to the Facebook page, whereas you might go to the Twitter feed, whatever the case may be. Different people are interacting with different social mechanisms. Instagram is very, very big in the mommy blogger and sort of active moms community, much more than it is, I think, for dads, right, of the same kids, whereas the dads might be on Facebook more, right, or Twitter more, right? Mm-hmm. Younger people are on Snapchat more. So I'm generalizing, but the point I'm making is just connecting them all and saying I'm going to throw the same stuff everywhere, I don't think is effective. What is effective is taking the time to build a message that is specific to the audience and the medium, understanding the audience, understanding the capabilities and limitations of the medium, and then translating your core message to that audience and medium. I mean, again, just like I would wear a suit to, you know, or a tuxedo to a wedding and shorts to the beach, you know, same person, different clothing.
Mm-hmm.
I dig that. I think something like this could be a revolutionary breakthrough for people and actually help avoid a lot of annoyance early on. Because I used to do that, and a lot of people, it's like, oh, if Instagram says you can also connect to your Facebook and your Twitter, how cool is that? But if you don't know that it just makes your feed look like a bunch of redirect links, you lose the message. And I'm sure that you understand how important it is to capture that attention right out the gates. I mean, just within a fraction of a second. Mai was talking about, she knows delivery apps not by their name, just by their app icon.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, it's crazy. But you obviously have had some success with this. Are there any kind of nick tricks or sort of something that you found that really works that you can share with the Anteater Nation here and the world from a social media standpoint? I think that the one takeaway of tailoring the message, in fact, it inspired a tweet. I'm going to tweet, keep the same core message across all platforms, but take the time to build the message in the medium. That's a solid quote by you, buddy.
Nice.
Yeah. Any other, you know, insightful tips that you've learned by doing and failing and working through the system?
Well, I think a couple of different things. First of all, you know, people expect, like, it's weird, this weird, okay, now I'm going to put myself on social media and I'll get a bunch of likes and I'll, you know, get all my friends to like this page or I'll invite a bunch of people and that's of value, right? Build an audience that's of value, you know what I'm saying? And focus on interacting with real people. The second thing I would say is that social media is a two-way medium. It's a communication medium. It's not a broadcast medium, right? What often, too often, because the most popular people on Twitter or Instagram are celebrities or attractive, you know, people or, you know, music pop stars or, you know, it's Katy Perry or Taylor Swift or whoever, Rihanna or whatever, and they have billions of followers and this and that, and they can post anything and people will follow it. People think it's a broadcast medium, but it's not. It's in, for a brand, it's an interactive medium. If you're going to have a Twitter presence, people are going to tweet at you. Sometimes great things and sometimes not great things. Okay? They had a bad experience with your product. They had a great experience with your product. They have a question about your product. And it's a 24/7 living, breathing medium. So unless you're committed to responding and interacting and engaging with your audience so that you use the medium to as a communication tool and not just as a, well, here's what we want to say and we don't really care what you want to say, don't engage in the medium, right? And the third piece of advice, which is the most important, is you can never, ever win an argument on social media as a brand. It will simply never happen. If you win, you lose, and if you lose, you lose, right? You know, there are people out there who try to bait you, who try to, you know, will troll you this, that, whatever. Don't get into the argument. It's not worth it. A tweet's lifespan on a screen is less than 10 seconds. Let it go.
Yeah. Wow, that was... Okay, and that wraps up our show. You guys have enough information to go home now. Man, that was it.
Fantastic.
That was fantastic. Kevin, what do you think about those? Do you feel more comfortable?
Nick, your points are excellent, and yes, very much so. I feel more comfortable today. I'm coming back next week.
All right. Well, there you go.
Awesome. So Kevin is the president of the Zot Masters here on campus. Are you familiar with the Toastmasters scene?
Vaguely, which is to say no.
Yeah, okay, no, that's cool. So
Google it, Nick. I think there's things to be had and that you would love.
Yeah, it's a comfortable speaking flat platform, and everybody takes a spin on the name. So here at UCI, it's the Zot Masters.
Zot Speak Toastmasters.
Yeah.
Right.
Very cool. So you had talked about your time here at UCI and how you're sort of giving back. One of the things that I do on campus, I work in a capacity with the Office of the Vice Provost to help, you know, the programs with the Division of Undergraduate Education and Summer Session and Division of Teaching and Learning to utilize social media more effectively. When you were on campus, I'm assuming there was no social media.
No, I graduated in 1991. There wasn't even an internet.
Crazy. So you're pretty active on campus. How have you seen things change at UCI with social media? I mean, there's good, there's bad, there's probably ugly, but because you're such a fan of UCI, you know, what are your thoughts on how they're leveraging it to engage students, to engage alumni? Is there anything that you see that you really like or things that you would suggest to improve upon?
So I think that social media is, again, an extremely powerful communication mechanism. And it's ironic because one of the pet projects I've been really pushing, you know, on the alumni board is this idea of having an alumni app, right? Or, you know, that app alumni can engage and look at events and find each other and, you know, whatever, as opposed to just clubs within Facebook, right? Because the app has that icon and has that presence on your phone that just a Facebook club or whatever will not. I think that the university has done, and the Alumni Association, the different groups, engineering, whatever, done a lot better job over the last 2 years of getting more integrated into social mechanisms and more integrated into emails. I get great emails from the School of Engineering and the Cove and this and that about different things. But I think there's a lot more to do, and it's just hard. It's a university, and it's a place to teach students. But ultimately, it has to be that the UCI, you know, Twitter handle or Instagram, every single person on those mediums should want to follow it because indispensable information is coming there first. You know what I'm saying? And it's hard because it's a big university and there's a lot of people, and the engineering students don't always care what's happening in dance, and the dance students don't always care what's happening in engineering. And I get that, but I think, you know, I always think it can be done better. I think I could do better. I think you could do better, right? I think who is the one? I think Katy Perry has like 80 million followers. Unless you're her, you can do better. You know what I'm saying?
Right. So how far have you gone down the thought process of this app for anteaters?
Well, so that's something that the, you know, again, the alumni board's job is to say, here's what we think should work. And then there's an excellent, I forget his title, but I think CEO or chairman of the alumni organization, Barney Ellis Perry.
Barney Ellis, he's great.
Barney's a phenomenal guy, and the guy who works for him, whose name I'm
Jeff,
not remembering.
Jeff.
Jeff Minhas, and they're now, they really take the sort of input from the alumni board and they go make stuff happen, right? And I think things are going to happen now, and I think that kind of app is again, it has to be done well, it has to be maintained, it has to be content rich. The worst thing you can do is throw out an app out there that isn't. And the bar, you know, the problem with apps is everyone thinks they can build an app. You know what I mean?
Like, right.
And everyone can. It's hard. It's not just hard technically, but it's, again, it's a living, breathing thing, right? People ask me all the time, because I did my first startup in 1997 before there were apps and it was just on the web, like, you know, what's hard about doing an internet business versus a retail business? I was like, stores get to close, right? The internet never closes. Once you're live forever, ever, every minute, of the, every day, period, right? You don't get to close. You know, you're not like, okay, well, this is restocking time or no one's going to come to our store these hours or whatever, right? So if you build an app, you have to be ready for that kind of commitment. And, you know, that's a complex thing, you know, for in a public university environment. But I know there's a lot of interest around it. And I know that this last board retreat we had, Barney and them, we're talking about making that a reality. So I'd love to see that happen.
That's awesome. We were getting in a little bit of a friendly argument earlier. At least I was maybe arguing with myself. What are your thoughts on the fact that, I mean, I'm going to tweet out here that an app is a living, breathing thing, because I think that's rad. Do you think apps are, quote unquote, social media platforms?
That's a great question. And the answer to that question is that everything is a social media platform now.
Yes, that's
everything is a social. We just saw, you know, there's this, if you use Uber, I'm sitting in an Uber right now, as a matter of fact, but, you know, people who use Uber or don't use Uber, people follow the news. There's this video of Uber CEO Travis Kalanick, you know, getting into an argument with an Uber driver about the rates they pay or whatever, right? And he gets pretty animated, apparently, and whatever. And it's like, whether his point was right or whether his point was wrong, I tell every employee I have, right, and I live by this, that assume everything you say is on going to be recorded and put on social media, period, end of sentence, right? Unless you're literally in your house with doors closed, everything is public, everything is social, everything will be used for good purposes, and a lot of it will be used for bad purposes.
It's almost
right?
like this whole, the leak, the leaks have leaked. Like, I don't even watch the TV, but all I hear is the leaks and leaky, leaky, leak. So it's
right.
like
but,
that same
and
concept,
the thing is,
right?
You can't stop the leaks, right? Any effort by, you know, again, forgetting the politics of this president, you can't get into who's leaking because it's just going to make the leakers more bold.
Right.
And worse, you're never going to find them. You're never going to shut it off.
You can't hold You can't hold a secret meeting about being secret without that immediately being public. But no, we don't want to get political.
Every company CEO now, or not every, but most major company CEOs, whenever they have an address to their employees where they're going to have an all-team meeting, all-hands meeting, and they're going to say important stuff, they now are publishing it before. Because rather than it getting leaked out, they're saying, here's the address we're going to give to our employees, right?
Right?
This is a public address to our employees, to our thing. Because, and they vet it and they think through it that way, because someone's going to put it out there anyways. And when they put it out there, they're going to put it out there without context. They're going to put out the part that they didn't like, right?
Yeah,
you know,
they're going to pick and choose the stuff that you don't want them to say, yeah.
Right. So, or just the one part of the sentence, you know, that
taking it out of context.
Barack Obama was president. He had said, you know, you didn't build that, right? Well, that became the right wing interpretation of what he said, is you didn't build that. You know, he was talking about you didn't build that without the help of teachers and roads and schools and, you know, all these different things. They didn't say the part that came after the comma, you know. And so it's better if you put it out yourself, right? So the advice I give to people is don't think you can ignore social media. Don't think it's devoid or disconnected from your brand or product. It is everywhere. It is everything. Every single person in America, every single person in the 5 billion people in the world now are carrying around a real-time live broadcast and recording device. So you have to assume that everything you say, do, is being recorded and is going to be out on social media, especially if you're a person of prominence of any kind, right? So when I see some of these people do these things, it's like, just be that critically aware. You go into a restaurant, you get into an argument with someone, you crack a joke, you know, you make an inappropriate comment, which you should never make anyways, but sometimes in the privacy of their own home, someone might be saying something. If that comes out, it's not going to be good for you.
Yeah, this is blowing my mind right now, because a lot of times I'll talk about the concept of offline and online communication, how they're so tied in together, right? And you have this idea of, I always encourage people, don't forget the social in social media. But what we're sort of talking about here is that it's not just an app that is a social media platform. The White House is its own social platform, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be a media platform. Every single platform where you're speaking, you're typing, you're taking pictures, like the whole world is a social platform, and some of them just happen to be app-based. Some of them are the person that is very outspoken and not online, and people capture that and it becomes online. So I think it's like, it's scary, but it's also empowering, right?
Right. Look, in a lot of ways, it's incredibly empowering, right? If you feel like, you know, in the states where it's allowed, which I think is all of them, if you get pulled over and you're concerned and, you know, again, you should comply with what the police are asking you to do, and if you're, you know, don't break the law, that goes without saying, but pull out your camera and record it, right? You know, and just say, hey, I'm recording this, you know. Protect yourself. It can be very powerful if you think you're being wronged in any way. It can be very protective. Women and people and men who find themselves in compromising situations, or someone's getting, you know, inappropriately aggressive towards them, they can pull out a camera and hear them protect themselves. But it can also be very, very damaging, right? I wear almost every day, partly because I own the company and I'm the CEO, but I wear a Heel branded shirt, so, you know, it has our logo on the polo shirt. And sometimes people ask me why, and I'm like, well, obviously I like wearing my company shirt, also because it always reminds me that I'm representing that brand. When I leave the office, when I'm at the grocery store, if I'm at the gym, if I'm wherever I am, I'm a representative of the Heel brand, and people know the Heel brand, so I have to act in a manner appropriate to being a representative of the Heel brand, right? We're all human. We're going to get angry at times, or we're going to say something we don't mean. That happens to the best of us, and it's just important to remember that we live in a world where everything is broadcast in real time all the time.
Even live broadcast on the radio here at KUCI. Ladies and gentlemen, he's been on just about every media publication, raising millions of dollars, saving millions of dollars, and he's live broadcast here at KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. Yay, everybody's doing the Zots in here and everything.
Zod, Zod, Zod.
Yeah. Well, how cool. Yeah. You know, I'd love to have you back just because I feel like we got a little bit of time, but I feel like there's so much more time to be had. You know, we're coming down to the end of our show here, and I'd say give us some last thoughts and comments, but every single piece that you've talked about is, like, worthy of that last piece and comment.
Look, all I will say, I'll say two things to end, right, just real quick. First of all, happy to come back anytime. Again, love the university, love UCI, love what it stands for, loved my education there. I'm an active part of the university, and happy to speak on this on your show anytime, right? Just contact my PR people and they'll set it up. And the only other thing I would say is, none of what I said, oh my God, you're going to be broadcast publicly, this and that, blah, 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 should scare anyone off from doing anything, because I think the most important rule of life is, be a decent person, right? Speak to people in a manner you wish to be spoken. Don't use profanity. Don't do illegal things. Don't cheat on your wife, right? If you live the way a decent, ethical person should live, none of this is going to hurt you, right? It's only going to hurt you when you do things you're not supposed to be doing in the first place, right? So, yeah, 20 years ago, did people get away with doing things because there weren't as many camera phones? Of course they did. But that doesn't mean that people are being asked to fundamentally not be themselves. It's just, be your best self.
Love it.
That is awesome. So, wow, this is great. I'm definitely going to hit you up. And big shout out to the NRPR group for connecting. And, yeah, I will keep you in mind to plug in however I can here on campus. Super excited to end here today in an honor and spirit of UCI. You are in an Uber. You're not driving, so get your anteaters out. Everybody has their anteaters out here in studio.
Yeah.
And we're going to end with a zot, 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 and then I'm going to play a song that's pulled off the wall. I have no idea what it is, but that's how I like to roll. So on the count of three, in true UCI spirit, anteater ethos for life, one, two, three.
Zot, zot,
zot.
Zot,
zot.
All right, buddy. Hey, well, we will see you soon, okay? And everybody, check out the Heal app. Rock on, guys. Thanks for listening to another Get Notified show. You can find all the shows at getnotified.kuci.org. This is Ginger MC signing off.